let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Live. Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go. Welcome in. It's the Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We are taking you until 8 o'clock this evening after what was just a miserable Cardinals game today. They lose to Colorado by a 6-0 score, losing 2 out of 3 against a Rockies team that might set the record for the worst season in the history of Major League Baseball. The Eric Fetty era does come to an end earlier in the day. He was designated for assignment. That will make Cardinals fans somewhat happy, but some will also ask why it took as long as it did after he had another poor outing yesterday. And Cardinals just seem like a team right now that the way they're playing at this very moment does not like seem like a team that's still got a run to the playoffs left in them. That does not seem likely at the moment. They are not in a position from a standings standpoint where if something miraculous happened that they couldn't find themselves back in that conversation. But right now, based off where they're at in the standings, but more importantly, the way they're playing here recently, it's not a good spot to be in for this club. And you feel like the focus is already starting to shift to 2026. Again, welcome in. Gray Bar Sports Open Line. If you want to chime in, you can do so by calling, texting, tweeting. If you call or text, the phone number is 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you get in contact with the program. We'll open up the phone lines a little bit later on. We always do that for sure on days of Cardinal Day games where we don't get the calls during the extra inning show. We will have really the final half hour of the program is kind of opened up for that. So from 7:30 on, there's going to be an opportunity for you to call in and chime in and talk through what you're thinking, what you're feeling, how you would assess what's going on right now. And we will welcome those phone calls in. But you can always text in, and you can always tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. And you can always leave a chat on, or a message on the video chat as well for those of you who are watching on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. For those of you who are listening on radio, this might not make a whole lot of sense, but we'll do like individual video broadcast for the different shows. So like we'll do Redbird Rush Hour and then that will end. And then we'll do a new show for Sports Open Line. So everybody who's watching on Redbird Rush Hour has to go to a new video stream. Well, today we just combined it all. Extra innings, Redbird Rush Hour, Sports Open Line, all into one thing. So with that, well, pretty good conversation going on. There's a lot of Cardinals conversation going on amongst the people who are watching it right now. And that's fun to follow along with as well as we go through this show tonight. Oliver Marmol said it. In case you missed it, let's I'll replay for you just the very start of Marmol's pregame or postgame talk today, because how he identified this game says a lot.
Not a whole lot offensively. Approaches weren't very good. In my opinion, that's the worst game we played.
That audio courtesy of FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. Worst game they've played this year. That's what he said right there. I can't disagree. They did not look good at the plate. We talked about this yesterday in Redbird Rush Hour because Ollie was asked very specifically by Bernie Miklas during the Gashouse game yesterday that about whether or not this team is quitting. And Ollie pushed back, and he pushed back in a very hard way, saying there's a difference between quitting and failing, and the team is failing right now. Now, it kind of all looks the same, right? When I read from people, oh, this team is quitting. Like I understand why you say that. I agree with Ollie, but does it really matter? Right? Like if it looks like a duck, sounds like a duck, it's probably a duck. But what if it's not a duck? And that's kind of the situation right now, where it does look like they're giving in. It does look like the approach is not great. I don't think it's quitting. I think it's failing. But it all looks the same, and it's not good right now. They're a week out from the trade deadline. And this is not to pat myself on the back and say I told you so, because I get a lot of stuff wrong. But all the while people wanted to say, oh, are they going to buy or they sell? Should they buy? Should they sell? And I didn't want to have that conversation. And I kept saying, it's going to, in all likelihood, it's going to present itself in a very obvious way of what it is, what's what the decision should be. I think we're moving in that direction. If they go crazy for the next week at home against the Padres and against the Marlins going into the trade deadline, can that start to change some type of thinking? I don't want to say no, but it's really hard to believe that that's going to happen. And maybe I'm just kind of stuck right now because I'm pretty disappointed in the way the team played today and the fact that they lost 2 out of 3 against Colorado. And to get shut out today, what was that number again? Let me, I want to make sure I get this right. Derek Gould tweeted this out. This is amazing. And mind you, the starting pitcher for the Rockies today was a guy who, he did have a handful of big league starts this year, but he was getting called up from AAA Albuquerque. This was a minor league guy coming up. This was like a sixth starter for the Rockies coming up. And for the Rockies, it was their first shutout in 220 consecutive games. That's not 220 consecutive games at Coors Field. That's just 220 consecutive games. The Rockies' first shutout. That is, that's not good. That's not good. And there's just, the Cardinals are, it seems like more often than not lately, the Cardinals, like, star of the game, the best players or the best performances that you take note of are from relief pitchers who are somewhat pitching in mop-up duty, and they've got to score more runs, they got to get better starting pitching, there's a lot of things they got to do. In fact, we're going to talk with Bernie Miklas in just a few moments. He had a really interesting video today over at STL Sports Central talking about the deterioration of Cardinals starting pitching and how that's connected to the developing pitching. And we'll talk with him about that and a few other things. We'll do that in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Very happy to welcome on this guy, courtesy of our friends at Saliga Heating and Cooling. He is Bernie Miklas. Of course, you hear him on the Gas House Gang. You hear him on Redbird Rush Hour. He's part of the team over at STL Sports Central with written and video content, doing Cardinals territory with Katie Wu, doing the podcast, the show that he does with Will Leach. So lots of stuff going on. Bernie's all over the place, and he joins us right now on Sports Open Line. Hey, Bernie.
Hey, what's going on? By the way, since you mentioned Matt, Will Leach. Will Leach will be with me and Chris Ranji tomorrow on Gas House Gang. And awesome. Then Mike Schilt's going to join us at 12:45.
Okay.
So we have Leach and Schilt in the same show. Just wanted to throw that out there.
All-star lineup coming up tomorrow on Gas House Gang.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it. I guess we'll have a lot to talk about, huh?
Yeah, we do. I watched your whole video today on where the Cardinals have gone wrong in terms of developing pitching, and I read the column that you wrote post the Fetty thing, and a couple things jumped out at me that I wanted to really get on. First off, I encourage everybody to read your column, but there was one stat that you gave that just floored me. It was on Eric Fetty. This season, 65 Major League Baseball starting pitchers have handled 100 innings or more. Among the 65, Fetty ranks 64th in ERA, 65th in strikeouts, 65th in strikeout-to-walk ratio, and 65th in WHIP. Basically, if you, I can read that paragraph, that sentence, Bernie, and say that Eric Fetty was the worst starting pitcher who had kept a job this year in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody who's been watching the Cardinals knows that, you know, he just went way off course. You know, he was pitching pretty good for a while, but he's just gotten bombed away here lately. So you say, well, he's pretty bad, isn't he? And that's why I kind of threw the stats out there because, yeah, he was more than bad. He was, I would say, literally the worst starting pitcher in the major leagues. So, And I have to say, man, I know, you know, I'm not going to want to like turn this into like a let's beat up John Mozeliak session, but I mean, the fact is, it took John Mozeliak till, you know, July the 23rd to finally do something about it. And basically to finally open up a rotation spot for Michael McGreevy. And you have to say, man, the irony is rich, because the Cardinals on this road trip were 1-5, and the other starting pitchers beside McGreevy had a 12.60 ERA. He was the only guy that pitched a good game, and that was the only win. And so I'm thinking about all this, and I'm like, you know, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, they finally put him in the rotation, and he's the only dude who, like, pitched well and with a lot of maturity and poise and skill. And he should have been in that rotation, as you have said, and I think the whole KMOX family has said a long, long time ago.
And that leads right into your video today, where you really kind of traced back the history of what has happened here in terms of developing pitchers and where it has fallen off and how good it was under Jeff Luhnow, and the organization never really updated the model, and then all of a sudden other teams were doing other things and other teams were being smarter. You mentioned the Brew. To me, it's amazing, not including McGreevy, but all the other starting pitchers who have been in the rotation this year. The Brewers' worst starting pitcher by ERA is Jose Quintana, and he's better by ERA than the Cardinals' best starting pitcher by ERA. I mean, it is remarkable. And you even got into it, which I think a lot of fans need to hear. This is not the case of the DeWitts being cheap. The Cardinals actually have invested a very significant amount of money into starting pitching.
Yeah, I have an account at SpotRack, which is a salary tracking site. And so I can get better salary information breakdowns. I just wanted to kind of give the background on that. So in terms of individual salaries this year, Cardinals starting pitchers, if you add it all up, individual salaries, and it's the salary used that baseball uses to calculate, the luxury tax threshold, you know. So, but anyway, those salaries combined translate into the Cardinals funding their starting rotation this season, the seventh highest total of dollars in the majors. Seventh highest total of dollars in the majors for 2025. Not the overall big contracts, just salaries for 2025. There's only six teams that have spent more on starting pitching this year than the Cardinals. And so here it sort of sums it all up. I mean, the Cardinals have funded this rotation to the point where it's the seventh highest in baseball this year, and yet the rotation ERA is 26th in baseball. So, you know, they're not getting value for the dollar. They're not even close to getting value for the dollar. And yet we spent all off season, and even during this season, and we spent the last couple seasons, frankly, fans like screeching for Bill DeWitt to spend more money. Why? I'm going to repeat this again, because I always said this. Why in the world would you want John Mozeliak to throw more money away? Now, we can start talking about it when Chaim Bloom takes over, but the biggest problem the Cardinals have had is they lost their way in developing starting pitching, and that forced Mozeliak to go, like, rush out and scramble and try to put a rotation together every year. And he ended up, in effect, overpaying. And they still have one of the worst rotations in baseball. And yet there's still some people. If you stop the proverbial man in the street, you know, a bunch of them would say, oh, no, they need to spend money on pitching. Well, maybe starting with the new guy taking over, but not with this regime. I don't understand it. I really don't understand people sometimes.
It's remarkable. And you just think about the contracts that have been handed out to the veteran starters, going back to the Michaelis deal, but Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn last year. The Gray contract has been okay. He's been especially right. Good at home. And I mean, he's been good. But outside of that, when you think about the veteran starters that have been brought in or have been extended, it has not been money's well spent.
Yeah, the Cardinals had, you know, when they, from 2012 through 2019, like I said in the video, you know, the Cardinals had all kinds of, you know, homegrown pitching talent. I mean, it really, really remarkable when you look at it. You know, they had, you know, of course, Wainwright was around, and I give them credit for Wainwright because he was the Braves drafted him, but the Cardinals developed him. But yeah, you had, these are all homegrown grown guys, 2012 through 2009. You know, Wainwright, the young Lance Lynn, Carlos Martinez, Michael Wacha, Jack Flaherty, Jaime Garcia, Shelby Miller, Joe Kelly, Luke Weaver. And then you have relievers like, you know, Trevor Rosenthal, Kevin Seagrass, Seth Maness, Jason Mott, and others. I mean, they the bulk of their pitching, like the most substantive part of their pitching over that long period of success was filled by people that they had drafted and developed. And then you fast forward beyond that, and they've really developed no one here in the last, what, since Flaherty had that really good year in 2019. McGreevy's like the only guy that they've developed. It looks like he's a good pitcher. And they wouldn't even bring him up this year, despite the fact the rotation starting like in late May began to fall apart.
Let me finish you off with this, Bernie, because this was my main thinking point when I was watching your video today. If the Cardinals previously led the way in being smart, where they use technology better than anybody else, and now they have fallen off where they've been passed by just about every team in baseball. I know that Heim Bloom and some other really smart people come in here, but as we watch baseball continue to evolve, where do the Cardinals go to once again be true leaders in the industry?
Well, I I'm not saying starting pitching is their only problem. I just say it's their biggest problem because it's been allowed to fall apart for years and years in terms of not developing your own. And they have to get back to that. And I think that begins the turnaround. I think that I don't have any doubt whatsoever, Heim Bloom, but maybe even more importantly, the people that he's hired to oversee all of this. I have no doubt that they're going to have what they need, and they're smart enough to do what they need to do to turn this thing around to where the Cardinals, I can't sit here and say, well, they'll be the envy of Major League Baseball for their starting pitching. But there was a time, like I mentioned in the video, where I had a conversation with Theo Epstein, the Cubs general manager at the time, and they had just won the World Series, you know, about a year before. And Theo, I said, well, I must make you feel pretty good. You took the Cardinals. And he was humble about it. He said, no, actually said, I'm really bothered by something. And I said, what's that? He said, we can't figure it out. I got eight people in the front office, and we're trying to figure out what is the secret. How do the Cardinals keep finding these pitchers and developing them? And we can't do it. We don't know what the secret sauce is. And I mean, so they were the envy of the industry back then. And they have to work towards getting there again. And I think that this new regime will take them there a long way. You know, whether it's to the very top as far as developing pitching or not, I still think they'll be among the very best in the majors at doing it. But that also is going to take a little time.
He is Bernie Miklos. Again, he'll be on Gas House Gang tomorrow with special guest Will Leach and Padres manager and former Cardinals manager Mike Shildt. That's going to be coming up tomorrow at the noon hour. Bernie, always appreciate your time. Before we let you go, can you tell us about Saliga?
Absolutely. Saliga Heating and Cooling's been taking care of the Miklos' since, I'm going to say 16 years. Sometimes 16 or 17. It's been so long, and that's a good thing. This Daikin Comfort dealer has taken beautiful care of us. And listen, that's nothing new because they've been taking care of generations of St. Louis families all the way back to 1927. And it's a beautiful thing because the Saliga family has continuously owned the business. Dan Saliga is the fourth generation owner operator of this proud family business. And I love the tradition. I really do. I think it's fantastic. Family owned and operated for nearly 100 years. Saliga offers free estimates and financing options and still has the best and most trustworthy customer service in St. Louis. We have found them to be beyond reproach when it comes to their integrity, their honesty, the way they deal with you. They'll look for cheaper solutions for you. They're not going to try to talk you into anything expensive. They want to earn your respect and your trust and the knowledge and professionalism. It's all there. And one other thing before I go, they have a maintenance program called the Priority Club, which will save you money by extending the life of your current equipment. And that has been our case. So big time recommendation for Saliga Heating and Cooling. To find out more, go to SaligaHeatingandCooling.com. Thank you.
It's a Gray Bar Sports Overline right here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauly. We are doing mostly Cardinals talk here for the program today. Might get into a little city. There's a report out there that Klaus is being moved to a new team. And to me, the thing that jumps out about that, two things. And again, I'm not the We'll try to get a soccer expert on at some point to talk about this maybe. But just another face of the franchise walking out the door. But also, Lutz was on with Tom Ackerman this past Sunday and was incredibly disgusted by the way the team played the last time out and basically said changes were coming. Well, that's a pretty big change. So we'll try to get into City a little bit throughout the program today. But mostly, we are here to talk Cardinals baseball. I see this in the chat coming through. Tommy, who is a loyal viewer, listener of our programs here with KMOX Sports, said, Tuesday on the Gas House Gang, Marmol took offense when Bernie asked if his team quit. Well, after today, he got his answer. Tommy, with all due respect, I don't think Marmol took offense, but I'll play it for you because if you listen just nonstop to Camel X, this is going to be the third time you've heard this because you heard the whole Ali interview yesterday and then you heard us talking about this on Redbird Rush Hour. But I do think this answer from Ali on yesterday's Gas House Gang does take a little bit of it is more enlightening to listen to it through the lens of what happened today, where the Cardinals were completely non-competitive against a terrible, terrible, terrible baseball team.
No, I just think we got our ass handed to us early, and it was hard to come back. When you look at some of the defensive plays and the way guys were still going about, the attention to detail was there. There's a difference between being flat and quitting and just getting beat. We got beat. And when you look at the at-bats and guys are still getting after it, they're just failing. Okay. Like there's a difference there. If you think Nato or Contreras or Mason or one of these guys are quitting, I'd love for you to have that conversation with them. I'd love for you to tell Donovan that he's quitting on the club. I'd love for you to tell Burleson that he's quitting on the club because that's far from it. Did they get beat? Yes. Were there at-bats that just looked ugly and the lack of execution? Absolutely. But using the word quitting, that's a strong one for me because that's something this group hasn't done at all. Did we give up a ton of runs early? And that's deflating. And when you do it for the third day in a row, you're like, holy crap, what's going on here? Absolutely. But you still have to separate offense from the pitching and still do your job offensively. And I don't feel like we did that well. But I wouldn't label that series as these guys quitting. That's far from it, man. Even the clubhouse meetings, the hitters meetings in between each one of those games, man, if you could hear the players and their commitment to fixing it the very next day and their inability to do so, you wouldn't label it as quitting. You just wouldn't. So I agree it was ugly. I hated every second of it. Every player hated every second of it. But we failed that series. We didn't quit.
Okay, so that was him talking about the Arizona series specifically, and then the team does not play well. And I know here's another bit of audio you've probably heard multiple times, but let's once again listen to Ali for his first few moments of his post-game today, the audio courtesy of FanDuel Sports Network Midwest.
Not a whole lot offensively. Approaches weren't very good. In my opinion, that's the worst game we played.
When you're down early, how much does that zap the will out of the team?
Yeah, it's part of it. We've done it a decent amount after the break. It does take it out of you. You have to be able to separate it. That's part of just being mentally tough. You've got to separate what's going on that side of the ball and still take productive at-bats and keep your approach. But I felt like today we veered from that.
Anything you could put your thumb on as to why?
No.
How about related to that, the timing of it? I mean, this is obviously a spot in the schedule where the front office is looking.
All right, so that's kind of an idea right there. And he did at one point today, again, that audio courtesy of FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. He did say that from an approach standpoint today, it didn't look good. I don't know, like, we're mincing words at this point, right? I know I'm responsible for this because I'm the person who's responsible for putting together the topics that we discuss on this show. Does it actually matter? Does it actually matter if the team is quitting versus the team is failing? Two different things. I guess it matters in the sense that you don't want to see players quit. That's an important thing. These are professional ball players representing a city, playing for a team that you love and you're passionate about. So yes, you do not want to see them quit. But from a from an actual on-field product standpoint, not worrying about that intrinsic stuff, from a on-the-field, in-the-game standpoint, just flat-out failing, getting beat versus quit, it looks similar. I don't question the character of most of the guys on this team, if any of the guys. Am I close to it in the sense that I have conversations with these guys in the clubhouse? Yeah, sure, I guess. Like I wouldn't say they're my friends. Like I ask them questions. I'm around them, and that's the extent of it. I don't think that access changes my view or my take on things. I think it's a really good group of dudes who do care. And right now, it's a talent issue more than anything else. And it's also the deflation, right? And that's what that a lot of people have certainly mentioned that. And we're getting a million comments on the chat, so it's hard for me to go back and find exactly what I'm looking for. But the idea that, once again, the team is in an early hole, and that allows the starting pitcher that you're facing to kind of puff out their chest a little bit and just go. Yeah. And then from an offensive group standpoint, that also you feel deflated. Here we go again. It's the here we go again thing. Yeah, I keep thinking about, and maybe I'm putting too much definition to some words that were stated, and I'm not trying to put words in other people's mouths. They can speak for themselves and they can say what they want to say. So I'm careful when I read in. I like to just listen to the actual words that are being said and not read into it, because sometimes that can be a little bit dangerous. But when Wilson Contreras, after the McGreevy game, goes on record emphatically stating that Michael McGreevy deserves to stay and deserves to be in the rotation, to me, that almost feels like this is a guy who is so frustrated with what's happening from a starting pitching standpoint and just almost pleading to the organization to have guys in the rotation who can give the team a chance. Because right now, like this is the bottom line on this, 100% bottom line, including Eric Fetty, who's no longer in the organization. Including Eric Fetty, the Cardinals just have not been getting competitive starts from 60% of their rotation. Three out of the five dudes were not giving you good starts. Were not, if the minimum you want out of a starting pitcher, we use this term all the time. We say it all the time. And it's a thing where we're lifting people up when we say it. Well, he gives you a chance. He's a guy that's going to keep you in the game. That's the minimum of what you need from a starting pitcher, that they keep you in the game. Sometimes we probably lift that up too much. Sometimes we look at the guy who goes five innings and gives up three runs, but you're still in the game. We vault them up a little bit too much, because when you extrapolate out five innings, three runs over and over and over again, it's a really bad season. But we lift up the five-inning, three runs guy. That's what we do. The Cardinals are not even getting that. That's the minimum that you need from a starting pitcher, a guy who can give you that more often than not. And that's not happening. So today, the Cardinals are down 4-0 before they can blink, because Andre Pallante is struggling. And here's the frustrating thing when talking about Pallante. He kind of did what he's supposed to do. He pitched to contact. Was there some hard contact in there? Yes, certainly there was. But hit after hit after those hits being strung out together, like, that doesn't happen in today's baseball. Yet it happened today for the Rockies against Pallante. And for all the people out there that push back when you hear about swing and miss pitchers, because there's a lot of them. There's a lot of people that push back on that. What's happening right now with Cardinals starting pitching is the number one reason that starting pitching has struggled the way it has. They don't have swing and miss. And it is an astonishing fact what Bernie Miklas brought up earlier on this show, that of every team in Major League Baseball, the Cardinals have spent the seventh most amount on starting pitching. Now, a lot of that is connected to Miles Michaelis on a big contract. Eric Fetty was getting paid. Obviously, Sonny Gray is getting paid. But the good teams, they develop starting pitching. The Milwaukee Brewers, like 24th in how much they've spent on starting pitching, and they don't have a guy in their rotation with a lower ERA than the Cardinals' best guy, basically. The Cardinals have to develop starting pitching that can produce at a somewhat high level, and at the very least, they got to have every dude in the rotation being somebody who can keep you in the game, because they got too many guys right now not keeping you in the game. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Just a couple minutes here left in hour number one of the program. We'll have an opportunity. You know what? Actually, here's what we'll do. Because we added a guest in the 7 o'clock hour. I wanted to talk a little bit about this city situation with Klaus evidently being on his way out. So our friend Matthew Rocchio is going to join us about 7:35. We've got Danny Wexelman, a St. Louisan from ESPN, who's going to be with us at 7:20 talk baseball. So after the 7 o'clock news, that's when we'll open up phone lines. And you can get in here if you want to talk through everything that you're seeing. Seen with the Cardinals, as it's just not real good. Cole Bassett's left foot, loyal viewer of what we've got going on, says on the chat, the Cardinals losing 6-0 at Coors is like getting sunburned in a snowstorm, statistically improbable and emotionally damaging. I like that. That is our comment of the day so far. Well done on that one. It's just not good. It is, it's just not good. Text message from 314 says, I sound like a broken record. Cardinals are not going anywhere. I don't know what I'm saying that I sound like a broken record. I'm dealing with the current situation. And the current situation is significantly different than where this team was at not that long ago. So, and I know there's going to be some people who scoff at what I'm about to say, and that's fine. There's a lot of people who just did not believe in this team at all and thought that this was always going to happen. And that's fine. Right now you are looking to be right if things don't turn around. But it wasn't that long ago that they were coming off that 3-game series sweep of Cleveland. And they were sitting with a record of 47-38. That was on June 29th. They wrapped up that series on Sunday, June 29th. And had there been some red flags that went up before that Cleveland series? Yeah, absolutely. They got outscored 11-0 against the Cubs in the final two games of that 4-game series after they'd won the first two games, scoring 16 runs over the first two. But you kind of forgot about those two final games against the Cubs once they swept through Cleveland in what felt like a really good series and a very important series for this team. And then that's when things started to go bad. That series against Pittsburgh, when they got swept, that feels like the beginning of what this team is going through right now. And I'm well aware of the fact that there was a series win in there against Washington, and that's good. It felt good in the moment. But if you look at where this team was on June 30th, before they went on that losing streak and lost three straight games against Pittsburgh, and where they are right now, it is... It's a situation where they've just not won enough games. They were right where they wanted to be. And like I've said, if something miraculous happens, and maybe it doesn't even need to be a miracle, if all of a sudden stuff just starts to click again, it's not like they've been buried so much that they can't get back into the wild card race. They're 3.5 games out of the wild card. But I'm not over, like, I'll bring that up. That's not going to be the last time you hear me say that. But that's not what I'm concerned about at the moment. What I'm concerned about is their ability to play good baseball and their ability to win games. And right now, they're not playing good baseball. Right now, they're not winning games. And it comes at a key moment where you've got decisions to be made. and you don't want to miss out on an opportunity to improve yourself organizationally by being able to sell off some players if it's just not going to happen this year. And that's the decisions that are being made because it doesn't feel like it's going to happen this year. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.